Hi, people. Hi, fam. So back for another episode. We're going to be talking about defunding the police and restorative justice. But I wanted to have this conversation with my sister because she just came from Boston, fresh from LA, her first time here. So I wanted to get her perspective on it because she has a degree in administration of justice and has worked with a lot of people that have come in contact with our criminal justice system, but also our civil system and navigating those spaces. So I'm gonna start by saying, like, as we're doing this podcast, there are continued protests across the country and all over the world for the Black Lives Matter movement. And people are really coming together and realizing that there are problems that need to be addressed from the top down with our criminal justice system. So I wanted to have a conversation with you, my sister, because many members of our family have had run-ins with the law and spent time in jail. But in your own experience working, you know, within the system, you know, you have a degree in administration of justice, and even long before that, you've been sort of a go-to resource in our family and in your community for tons of things related to getting assistance or having to work with a state or a federal agency. I know you've helped people with custody cases and navigating the SNAP program. So I wanna give you a chance to introduce yourself and a little bit of what you work on. So go ahead.
I'm Gloria, I'm Michael's sister, hi. I do have a degree in criminal justice. I just graduated last year at Antelope Valley College. I have worked with our family for a long time. Basically, I learned through trial and error and then utilized finding resources in depth to make sure that I was taken care of, because I was raising my children as a single mom for a long time until I got married. And then that just grew from there, that I had to be part of the criminal justice system because I wanted the resources. Most of my clients come to me are men looking for assistance with their child support, and because they don't interact with the baby's moms too much, so that becomes a real heated situation. So I try to mediate.
Thank you. So before we get started, before we dive in on this, I just want to say that we're going to keep this constructive, and you know, we may not agree on everything, and that's okay. In fact, I think it's super helpful to disagree on things respectfully. I think we're gonna be respectful of each other's opinion. And I know these conversations can get heated. So we're gonna try to be as productive as possible. I know that people have differing opinions on the opposite side of the spectrum, but I think we're gonna do a good job of being productive and constructive. So for first question, you just kind of touched on it, which is, what's the most common reason you think that people seek your assistance?
Resources. Yeah. Most people don't utilize them because they don't know that they're there. I try to reach out as much as I can without offering too much because it seems overwhelming. Mm-hmm. So I have a step-by-step process that I have in a format of how I can help them. But I do have a full-time job, so I can't always answer the questions.
Yeah.
And I can only meet with one person one at a time. Yeah. And it does take weeks before we reach goals. So they have to be consistent and not to be, controlling, but you kind of have to go with what I'm saying, and I only offer my opinion.
I feel like it's great that you do this work, but I also think that, like, government agencies also need to be accountable. Like, it's great that you do this work, but I guess my point is that you shouldn't have to, because government agencies should be easy to navigate.
Oh, they won't.
Yeah, they don't need to be this complicated, but they are, because they want to keep people out, I feel like.
Yes, they do. This is not something you learn in high school, definitely. Mm-hmm. They won't offer. You have to ask, and you don't know what to ask.
Yeah. And I think, like, the pandemic has exposed just how corrupt and mismanaged our criminal justice system is and our civic system is. And, you know, you just kind of touched on it. Like, why do you think that is? And, like, what's your perspective?
we really have to be going through it to want to find the information. It's more through trial and error. It's like, where do you go to next? Some people stop when they get one answer and think that's enough, or they just give up.
Yeah. Some people have proposed like defunding the police, defunding programs, because right now police are wearing so many hats. They have to play social worker, they have to play diversity officer, they have to do this, when their main job should be to police our streets and be a tool for justice. And I want to break down what defunding the police actually means, because what that means is police budgets are bloated all over the country. And I understand like Boston is not like Bozeman, Montana, so they're gonna have a cheaper police budget. But places like New York and LA also have overinflated budgets. And we our elected representatives give so much money to our defense spending, and that goes to our military. What the military doesn't use gets floated back to our police officers. So they end up having weapons of war, weapons of military to police our streets. And I don't think that that's right. What do you think about sort of defunding the police and establishing programs with people maybe like you who are more like socially based and able to work within your community instead of having a police officer do it?
That is a really controversial question. That, I'll tell you, and to become a police officer, no education required, no college education requirement. High school, that's it. You take a test, obviously, and it consists of knowing the vehicle codes, then the health and safety codes, and the penal codes, and the welfare institution codes, and that's it. And the agility testing, that's it. There's no extensive college behind it. Their training has to be reformed. Defunding the police, I can see why people are saying that. Does it make sense? Not a whole lot, but I mean, the way that they are treating people, I don't agree with it at all, whatsoever. I have found myself having to be arrested because of something I did, and my body got tensed, and right away I'm being labeled as resisting. No, I'm afraid, my body's tense, I'm not resisting. So that led to more than one thing, and thank God I'm alive, but I'm afraid. I'm afraid of, and I didn't even know I was doing something wrong. The cops just labeled it as something wrong, and then before you know it, I'm tense. And I was not resisting, I was just afraid. So,
yeah.
And now it's, I don't agree to it at all.
I mean, that's such an important point and such a good like human observation to make, which is that I don't think maybe police officers don't always have like physiology training. They don't understand what happens to a body during the course of an arrest. And that's a super important point to bring up and maybe incorporate into training. And I mean, we're not gonna have a huge discussion about this because I don't think we have all the answers, but I think it's important to talk about it. And so let's move on because it's a super long discussion and we wanna get out and enjoy Boston. But the last thing that I wanna talk to you about is yesterday, as we were walking around South Boston, I got an alert on my phone that says the mayor, Boston Mayor Marty Walsh, is declaring racism a public health crisis. And he's now going to be allocating in total about $12 million of funds towards fighting racism through the public health perspective. And I think that that's a little bit more constructive because it's not coming at it from a cultural perspective and like forcing people to believe in something, but rather it's as a matter of public health, we should address this. What do you think about that?
I think it's an excellent idea. It's a step in the right direction. I want to mention that my boyfriend was talking to me about this in a little bit of detail. He was saying, years ago when Martin Luther King was alive, the people had somebody to follow and they had a guidance and they had the direction because he was so influential in his words. We don't have anybody like that anymore. Mm-hmm. And I think it's now more out of control than it ever has been. And I think we need good leadership. Where do we find that? We should look upon one another. If anything, we need to stick together.
Yeah.
This program that your mayor is doing, absolutely a great step in the right direction.
Yeah. And I think like people like me who are politically active, politically motivated, and want to see change, I think, you know, he wants to establish things like task forces and things like that. But I think that's also a good step in the right direction. But a task force or like a diversity program or something like that, representation always stops short of actual power. So I really hope the mayor does a good job with tasking these task force with power, with the ability of oversight for police reform, with the ability of oversight, the ability to enforce responsible use of force by police officers. So I hope that that happens. That's all the time that we have for today, because my sister wants to get out and enjoy Boston, and there's so much to see in our community, and there's so much that's beautiful today because we have good weather, and I'm so glad she's here. And if you have one more thing you want to say, or we can wrap up.
I'm done. I'm good.
Okay.
Love you, Boston.
So thank you guys so much. Feel free to like, share, and support the podcast. Subscribe. Obviously, I'm running for political office, so I could definitely use the cash right now. Once again, my name is Michael Reese, and I'm a candidate for United States Congress in Massachusetts. Thank you so much.